Yifei Tohar, which is really in the regular Medrash Rabbah, except it's Bekitzer. The Yifei Tohar is in the, people don't know then, the Medrash Rabbah, there's a Parash Yifei Tohar, which is a shortened version of the real Yifei Tohar. Many people, 99% of the world doesn't know that. But anyway, so here there's much more Arichas of Parash, and especially he spells out on the first piece that this Medrash argued with previous Midrashim, which it didn't say, so I wanted it here. Basically, this Medrash is a very unusual Medrash, because we usually, most Midrashim are assuming that Yisro was this tremendous tzaddik from way back. It says Yisro was Kohen Midyan, but the general assumption is that even from the time in Shmos, that he stopped being Kohen Midyan, and that's why the Roim were chasing his daughters away, because he already became a Baal Tshuva in the beginning. It was the Medrash says that when the Paro asked for advice, Yisro didn't give, but he ran away. But at least according to Pashup Shat, and that's what this Farish Marzu says, this Medrash is disagreeing. This Medrash is learning that Yisro was not a tzaddik in the beginning. In fact, this Medrash is learning that Yisro and Amalek were basically holding neck and neck in equal rishis. And it was only at the end, at this parsha, that Yisro goes ahead and does tshuva. So let's read the Medrash inside. First it quotes the pasuk. I'm going to skip the pasuk. Amalek v'Yisro hoya ba'etza in paro. He says on this side that this Medrash is arguing with the previous Medrash. There is a Medrash. The other Midrashim say that they were both there, but the normal Medrash says that when Yisro ran away and Bilam gave the Eitzah, but here it's assuming that, if I care, that Amalek and Yisro were both in giving the Eitzah. It's not clear which Eitzah. There were two Eitzahs, one of being Mishabed and the Bnei Yisrael. The other Eitzah is to kill the babies. That's what the Yifei Tohar says. It says, Mashma diyoitz gam Yisro ra. That's what they read in the Yifei Tohar on the side, that Yisro also gave bad advice of Pligi, and he's arguing Adereel. He's arguing on the previous Medrash, Perek Aleph, Tika Omar, the little abbreviations here, She Yisro Bora. The previous Medrash says that Yisro did not give advice, he ran away, Kisiva B'Simen HaKoydim. Okay, and then he says, the Eitzah Kohaben HaYaod HaYaira Tashrichu. So according to this Medrash, Yisro and Amalek were the super Rishoyim, that they went ahead and they gave Paro the advice to go ahead and kill the babies. Right? And it's different than the other Midrashim. So Amalek the Yisro hoya ve'etzas and Paro. So Amalek and Yisro were both with the Eitzah. Kishiro Yisro sha'oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Amalek. But when Yisro saw that Amalek was wiped out min ha'olam hazeh min ha'olam haba, from this world and from the next world, so then he went ahead and he did tshuva. She can't go to the Maida. Beforehand, the end of Bishalach, it says, ki mocho emcha zecha Amalek, and mocho emcha means olam hazeh and olam hazeh, but achar kach v'yishma Yisro heard this, that Amalek, his partner in crime, so to speak, is getting wiped out from both. So Yisrael. So therefore he decided to join Klai Yisrael. Okay, then he says, Minayat the Lomach Amalek, Amidjan and Strange Amid Yisrael. How do we know that Amalek, we know, and Midjan, which is Yisrael, is Kohen Midjan? Again, according to this Medrash, Yisrael is still the head of Midjan. How do we know that they hated Yisrael? Shemar Vayochel, Zikne Moav, Zikne Midjan. Kainu Omer, Midjan, Amalek, Ubnei Kedem. So we know that there was this connection. Kikain Bilam Arasha, this is Parshas Balak, Ravayaris Amalek, Shal Chazerbo. Ukishirah, the Yisrael, and he saw that Amalek didn't do tshuva. Then Ukishirah, the Yisrael, the tshuva. Ma Omar said, what did Bilam say? Vayaris Akini, Moshe, the Sayyid, Shayat Sotzi, burns a Moshe to a person who's trapper, who's catching birds. Sotas Rishaina, he caught the first bird. Which was Amalek here. But this is a Shnia. He came, wants to come to catch a second bird because they're both exactly the same, which is he wanted to catch Yisro. He wanted, just like he cursed Amalek, going to curse Yisro. Hokov Yashvada al Ikorin Shalmelech. He sat on the statue of the king. Amad al Atsayin. So the Zayin is looking at her and wondering, if I'm going to shoot you, in other words, I can't shoot you. In other words, you picked a good spot to escape. So here also, Yisrael took a good spot to escape, that he escaped by being Megayer and joining Klal Yisrael. This is a Medrash. So there's a simple shmooze, which perhaps is not such a chiddush, perhaps pretty, maybe there are other chazals that have the same basic shmooze. And there's a second shmooze, which is a much bigger chiddush, which is perhaps a little debatable, but I think it's from the Lashon, is mashma, the second shmooze. The first simple shmooze is that it seems from this chazal, the way, again, it's apparently a machloikas and midrashim, this medrash is learning that Yisrael, till this point, he and Amalek were exactly equal. And that's why Bilam was assuming, just like he whatever, he cursed, you know, that they would be the same. It's like two birds, Namashal, exactly equal. They both joined together to do the terrible Aveira of killing the babies. Yisrael and Amalek, we know that Yisrael, Amalek is the Avi Avos HaRishayim, so that means that Yisrael at this point in time, or before this point in time, was, according to this Medrash, a terrible Rasha. Again, other Midrashim disagree, but that's how this Medrash is learning. Then what happens? Yisrael sees that Amalek is going to be Mocho Emcha Ezech Amalek, that Amalek is getting a terrible price, is paying for its Averis, and Yisrael gets inspired, and he goes ahead and he does tshuva. So there is, like I say, a simple shmooze that a person can go ahead and change on a dime from one extreme to the next. Here we have Yisrael, according to this medrash, is till we heard that Amalek was Mocho Emchesech Amalek, till we heard that, he was acting like this super Rasha. Obviously, he's compared to Amalek. Amalek is the world's greatest Rishayim, and Yisrael is compared to that. So that means that he is compared to, till then, he was one of the world's biggest Rishayim. He says he was involved in killing the babies, or they gave the Eitzah to kill the babies. He's a super Rasha. And then he gets an inspiration. I don't want to go ahead and be like punished, get the same destiny of Amalek. And in a second, basically, he comes and he becomes a ger, and he goes out and he becomes Yisrael with all the chazals, with all the chavivas. He's already giving Moshe Rabbeinu advice on how to run Klal Yisrael. Right? So he basically, in 1 second, kemat, overnight, he goes from one extreme to the next. Now the truth is that is a chiddush. A person is humanly possible to do that. There are seemingly other chazals to the same thing. We have Yesh Kaina Olamo B'Shua Achas, a number of chazals like that. But this is a little different. And I know Rabbi Grumblat once pointed out that every person of Yesh Kaina Olamo B'Shua Achas, they died immediately afterward. Because we do not have in the Chazal Kemat, or it's offhand that I know of, a person who, we have a few examples of super Rishayim, and then they did tshuva, and they died during the tshuva. We have a few cases. But here we have an example of a, you know, so we don't have an example of a person being able to go from a Rasha to a super tzaddik, living as a tzaddik, continuing as a tzaddik. But here is a tzir of a person who, apparently the way this medrash is learning, he was living a life of a rishus, and then all of a sudden he becomes changed. We know that Yisro and Yisro's children, it says that all the Sanhedrin come from the Yisro, the Vishkas Hagozis, Rashi says, so that there's the first move would be a very simple hisayiris, that a person can be a terrible, terrible Rasha, and it's humanly possible to change on a dime and to become transformed as a tzaddik and then to live the rest of your life as a tzaddik. Okay. That's a simple shmooze. The second shmooze, the question is here, what was it that inspired Yisrael to change? So the lashon of the Medrash is, Kishiro Yisro Shaavel HaKosh Baruch Hu Esamolek Min Olam Haza Min Olam Haba. And that's the Pasuk Mocho Emcha Ezecha Amolek. He says in the Perish, in the bottom, that Kimocho Emcha Bi Olam Haza, Kimocho Bi Olam Haza, Emcha Bi Olam Haba. So it seems, and he said this clearly in the Perish, that he wasn't scared. Or in other words, it wasn't so much that the fact that Amalek was killed in Olam Hazeh, that seems alone, even from the Medrash alone, that wouldn't have done it. Just the fact that Amalek, Klai Yisrael wiped out Amalek, Klai Yisrael wiped out Mitzrayim, that would not have done it. It was because it was this added dimension that they were wiped out from Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That's the Perish and the Medrash. Why wouldn't Olam Hazeh do it alone? It doesn't say clearly in the Medrash. And the Mefarish here says, because he thought that maybe only they got punished in Olam Hazeh because they were starting up with Klal Yisrael. I don't know. That's not, you could say he didn't care as much as Olam Hazeh. It's not clear. But what's definitely clear is, from the Medrash, it's pretty much Beferish, is that it was the double fact that Amalek is wiped out when Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba that shook him up. So the question is, what does this mean that Amalek is Ovad HaKosh Baruch Hu is Amalek min Olam Hazeh min Olam Haba? Does it mean that focusing on Olam Haba, because it seems pretty clear to you, without the Olam Haba factor, he would not have been shaken up. But it was the added ingredient of the Olam. It wasn't just that he saw Amalek wiped out in Olam Haza, but it was the added ingredient of that he heard, and that's why the Pasuk says, he heard, you know, everyone saw that Amalek was wiped out, but he also heard, Kimocho Emcha Zeich Amalek from Olam Haza and Olam Haba. So that's what shook him up. Now, what does it mean that Amalek is going to be wiped out from Olam Haba? Does it mean that they're going to get punished in Olam? Was it that they're going to get a terrible einish in Olam Haba? It was the Gehenim in Olam Haba that inspired him? Or just the fact that they're losing Olam Haba? Now, it seems from the Medrash that the thing that shook Yitzro up was the fact that Amalek, what's going to happen, Amalek is Nimcha from Olam Haba. So I want to get clear. Is it because Amalek is going to burn in Gehenim for who knows what kind of terrible Yisurim She'en Kamayu in Olam Haba? Or is it just because they're not going to get Olam Haba? So when I read the Medrash, it's not 100% clear, but the Lashon, it just says, "Kishiroh sheyitro sheovad Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Amalek min Olam Hazeh min Olam Haba." Ovad just means that they lose. We don't find that Amalek had terrible yisurim in Olam Hazeh. We don't find that Amalek was they lost Olam Haba. They got killed. Klal Yisrael went ahead. That's what the word Avad means. They lost. Doesn't mean that they're suffering. And we know in the Metzius too, as far as Olam Haza, Amalek did not suffer in Olam Haza. They didn't live a torturous life in Olam Haza. They just, there was a milchama, and they were wiped out. So the language is very strongly mashma, that he saw that they were wiped out from Olam Haza, and min Olam Haba. Min Olam Haba means similar to Olam Haza. Just like they were wiped out from Olam Haza, they were wiped out from Olam Haba. That's what the pasuk, Pashuk Kimocho Emche. It just means they're wiped out. It doesn't talk anything about punishing them. I mean, it might be true, but that doesn't seem to be what the focus here is. So that is what I assumed. Now, the truth is, this parish of the Sveit Tohar, in the paragraph Gesherah, the last line is not so mashma that way, though it's not clear, it's not a raya, but it just says, Gesherah ha-yid ha-idam haba, yoda ki-kil kano v'noikem. That would sound more like Hashem's going to punish. I don't think it's mukhrok, but it sounds a little bit that way. I'm not 100% clear. I see in the next piece, which I didn't see when I gave out the Mara Mekaymis, so I apologize if I mismarked the sheet. If you look at the piece after I told you to stop, he says that what happened, so that Yisro ran toward, Yisro was like this marshal of the bird, that he ran onto the statue of the king to save himself. So also Yisro saved himself by coming to Hashem. And Eitzor Lakai Shal Yisrael. All these abbreviations. Tim Toimar Ude Eze Mokom Acher Yukolei. Like, what's the Chiddush? Fish by the bird. Okay, the bird could have flown anywhere. It was a smart bird. He landed on the statue. But here, what else could Yisrael do if he wants to escape? V'yeshloimar Shoya Efsher Shayosha B'tshuva. Be also goy. He didn't have to be megayer. He could have just done tshuva. Rak sheyekabel of zayim mitzvahs, but he should have accepted zayim mitzvahs. Kigir toshev v'yeh nochedek l'olam haba, because by accepting the zayim mitzvahs, you get olam haba. Kichaside umas olam, and that's the word that al rotsa. He didn't do that. Rak boy so it okay Yisrael lios kikoech on the Yisrael. You know, that's the mushel, that just like the bird went ahead and went to the extreme, he landed on the king statue. So here, Yisrael had an Eitzah. He could have gone ahead and become just a Ger Toshev, and then he would have gotten Olam Haba like Chaside Umas Olam, and instead he went to the extreme, so that's the mushel. So I think it's clear from him that he's learning that Yisrael's drive, like I think the simple mashmos of the Medrash is that he wants Olam Haba. If the word is only that he's nervous about the punishment, then his question is no question. It just said it's like Yisro could have done tshuva. Goyim is stam goy, doesn't get Gehenim in Olam Haba. He should have said that Yisro, what should have Yisro done if he just was worried? All we had to do is do tshuva and he would have avoided Gehenim. But instead, he went to Klal Yisrael. But he says, could have done tshuva and mikabel zayim mitzvahs, so then he would have gotten Olam Haba because chaside umas olam get Olam Haba. So I think it's clear from this parish, like I believe the simple mashmos of the Medrash is mashma, that he's saying like this, Yisrael was a very much, Olam Haba was very meaningful to Yisrael. Yisrael was according to this Medrash, he was a partner of Amalek. They were buddies, they were whatever, they were shared in their crime together. And Yisrael's walking around assuming he's gonna get Olam Haba. Now we hear, it's a Chiddush, Kimoko Emcha Zeich Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim, that Amalek's not getting Olam Haza or Olam Haba. Yisrael's tremendously shooken up. What? No Olam Haba? Wow, that shakes me up tremendously. And there he's so shooken up that he goes ahead and does this dramatic tshuva, that he goes from one extreme to the other. He goes and he transforms himself and he becomes this super tzaddik so he can get Adam Haba. So I think there's a tremendous chiddush here, is that bishlama, a person, you have a rasha, and a rasha does aveiros, and he thinks he's not going to get punished. Okay, makes sense. He thinks either chas v'shalom, he believes that there's no God, or there's no hashgacha pratis, or God created the world and then he doesn't care. Whatever, you know, he left the world to the laws of nature. Okay, God doesn't care. It doesn't, you know, that's somehow, the world runs according to the laws of nature. That's the way it is, and there's no hashgacha pratis, and I'll do my averis, and nothing's going to happen to me. But Olam Haba is not according to the laws of nature. There's no law of nature that when a person dies, you go to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is obviously a tremendous nace. Person has to go ahead. The person's dead. You're dead, you're dead. So you have to believe that the neshama is still survives, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that neshama and puts it in Olam Haba. So you have to be a maimin and ashkacha pratis, etc. How can a person who's doing aveiros, and he's, according to this medrash, he's an equal to Amalek, think he's going to Olam Haba? Like, what was Yisrael's Havamina? Yisrael was walking out with his stark Havamina, of course I'm going to Olam Haba. You know, and then he's in for a surprise. What? Amalek's not going to Olam Haba? I can't believe it. Amalek's not getting Olam Haba. Wow, what a chiddush. Awesome. Like, what did you think? You thought Amalek was going to get Olam Haba? You thought you were going to get Olam Haba? Like, why is he so surprised? He hears, Mocho emcha zecha moi mitachas ha-shamayim. Wow, what an eye-opener. Like, how would anyone think that Amalek's going to get Olam Haba? Or you, if you're equal to Amalek, that you're going to get Olam Haba? So I think there's a tremendous chiddush here, is that a person can be, you know, a tremendous Rasha, Marusha, and he still walks around with the assumption that, like, everything's coming to me, and Olam Haza is coming to me, and Olam Haba is coming to me, you know. Avada, yeah, Avada, I'll get Olam Haba. What do you mean? It's coming to me. I did some Averis, okay, but, you know who I am. I'm the multimillionaire. I'm this, I'm that. Of course I'm going to get Olam Haba. You knock on the gates of Gan Eden, they'll say, who's there? And they'll say, it's me, the Yisrael. Open up, you know? You know, it's a Shida, you know? I'm the world's greatest person. I don't know. You know, there's a certain, whether it's gaiva or just an assumption, or that because of just that, of course, why not? That a person, even the Risham, even, in other words, Yisrael assumed that him and Amalek, not just himself, he assumed Amalek too. It's not just, he didn't see his own Averis. He assumed he's going to go for Olam Haba, and he thought that Amalek was going to go to Olam Haba. And it was a wake-up call that was tremendously inspiring to him to hear that it's not so simple. Not so simple. You got to deserve Olam Haba. You got to work for it. You gotta have schusim. And that means that it's again, like we always say, if this is a true by Yisro, it's probably true by everybody else, including us. That means that part of why we're perhaps not as inspired or motivated or driven as we could be is because we just work with an assumption that everything's coming to us, Olam Haza is gonna come to us, and Olam Haba, of course, yeah, you know, why not? Especially we know, call Yisrael Yeshem Chayedek Lom Haba, you know, we're for sure, we're all set. So we take for granted that everything's coming to us, so why do we have to work? Why do we have to kill ourselves, work hard, push, Meiser Nefesh, what for? It's, of course we'll get Olam Haza and Olam Haba. It's, you know, what's the Shaita? And if we could get somewhat of this same inspiration that Yisrael got, that to realize that it's not so poshut. There's a Akash Baruch Hu has dikta kadin. There's consequences. And for everything a person does, it's not, and it affects both Olam Haza and Olam Haba. And that realization, if we could be, you know, would inspire us to go ahead, also perhaps to be like Yisrael, to do the tshuva. So just say the chiddush is that a person walks around with life. We perhaps don't realize it, where there's a certain self-confidence of, you know, that everything's going to be, without even trying, we're going to get everything. And we have to realize, go ahead and realize that everything is with a cheshbon, with a din. It depends on the person's mitzvahs, and it's a tremendous diktuk din. And if we want Olam Haba and Olam Haza, then obviously we have to go ahead and make sure we deserve it.